The following is a Cartoonerific Studios presentation.
Welcome to Cartoon Fun. It's Cartoonerific. Yeah!
Welcome to the Cartoonerific Podcast, Classic Animated Cartoons. I am Brian Mitchell, and I am your host. Last week on the old podcast, I interviewed Disney expert and author and historian, Mr. Jim Fanning, about all things Disney. This week is part two of that interview, and Jim has some more interesting things to say about the world of Walt Disney. Jim is featured on a show on Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction. It's called Behind the Attraction. It's season two. And I just watched an episode yesterday about Big Thunder Railroad or Big Thunder Mountain and the background behind that. It was actually very interesting. I knew some of it. I didn't know all of it. And Jim was adding some information along the way. He was on camera providing some historical tidbits. So please check that out. It's Behind the Attraction, Season 2 on Disney+. You know, as Disney moves forward, I think there's one person that is getting lost in the shuffle. A lot of people think that, and especially young people, I think that they think that Walt Disney or Disney is just this corporate behemoth. And I don't think that they realize that there was a man actually in charge of a studio creating all this wonderful stuff. And, you know, when I grew up, and I think we allude to some of this on the podcast, there was a certain magic. There was almost a twinkle in Mr. Disney's eye about every project that he was tackling at the studio. And when you look back at all these different films that he made, whether it was Mickey Mouse cartoons or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Pinocchio, Bambi, Dumbo, Fantasia, Cinderella. You know, there all these things, even the Disney TV show, The Wonderful World of Color, you just got a sense that Disney had some great pride and taking great joy in presenting these programs or these movies. And I think Disneyland was the ultimate for him because when he created Disneyland, he was actually able to see these people, and he was at the parks quite often. He was checking out the parks. Normally, a lot of people didn't recognize him because he'd kind of dressed down, but he would walk into the park, and he would kind of check out how people were reacting to it. And so he kind of got this real-time feel of how people were really enjoying the park, and I think that was the ultimate goal for him. He wanted people to really enjoy what he was doing. And as a Disney fan myself, I was one of those people that really enjoyed all that stuff growing up. To me, there was just something very, very magical about it. Anyway, that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why I have Jim on here today. I just want to say thank you, Walt Disney, for all the wonderful things you did in the past and influencing all these people at the Disney organization to continue to create all this wonderful stuff for us now and in the future. So thank you. Anyway, up next, part two of our interview with Mr. Jim Fanning. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Cartoonerific Podcast, Classic Animated Cartoons, with your host animator, Brian Mitchell. And now it's time for our special Cartoonerific guest.
Well, let's get right to it, shall we? Here is Mr. Jim Fanning, and we're going to talk about more things Disney. Please sit back and enjoy. Okay, so let's talk about a few different things. I wanted to ask you about Disney animated films. What would be your top three? And I don't know if you're going to include newer stuff and old stuff, or we could put it into two different lists. You know, maybe pre 1980 and then post 1980. What would be your...
So in talking about animated films, you know, and anything else, I do kind of differentiate from the Walt era to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I think, especially as a historian, I'm so focused on Walt Disney,
right,
the foundation of everything. Now, that's not to say I don't like anything else, because I do.
Right.
And I especially like things that really are in his, reflect and honor his heritage. And all the animation people since him they've strived to do that.
Right.
So, if I had to pick favorite animated films from Walt Disney's era, boy, it's so hard to say, but Sleeping Beauty is probably my top.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Okay. So Sleeping Beauty, what would be number two?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay. Great. Both great films. And three? Yeah. What would be
that's hard to argue with any of it, isn't it?
No matter
what anybody picks, they're all great. And
I'm sure somebody's going to argue about it. What? What are you talking about? No. So
that's right.
No,
that's
I love Sleeping Beauty. I think it's wonderful. I think it works in so many different levels. But
yeah.
Snow White's beautiful, well-told movie. And number three, what would that be?
Fantasia.
There you go.
So yeah, those would probably be my top three. Although how can you leave out Bambi or Pinocchio? How can you leave out, the Jungle Book,
Right. But how can you leave out like 101 Dalmatians or, because it's some of these things are apples and oranges, They work on their own merits. I love the Jungle Book, but I don't think it has the best story. I think they were kind of floundering around for the story. It seems very episodic. But then again, Pinocchio is too. But it doesn't make me hate the movies. I love the movies. I love Jungle Book for a lot of different reasons. It's the movie that got me into animation, because I remember watching it. And if people have been listening to this podcast, they've heard this before. But when I first saw it as a kid of five years old, I was watching it and I was like, they look real, but I know they're drawings. And I couldn't get over it. It was just... Yeah.
You summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Not too bad for the age of five to really zero in on that.
Yeah. No, I remember that thought as I sat there watching it and it was in the middle of the movie when Baloo was interacting with Mowgli. And that was a magical moment for me. And it obviously stayed with me. But that's really the film that really... kind of got me laser beamed onto animation. So now, okay. So we're talking about the Walt era of animated movies. So what do you consider after that? Like after he passed away, are you talking about maybe the 10-year period after he passed away when they're still trying to make films like Walt?
Well, it's almost like you're right.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're implying that there's two different eras at least. I think you're right. There's the era immediately preceding Walt's death,
right,
and then there's the Renaissance. So I guess if I look just the Renaissance,
mm-hmm.
The Little Mermaid for sure
as a number one.
Yeah.
Okay. So Little Mermaid. It was excellent. I saw it at the Cinerama Dome in Los Angeles.
How great! Okay.
And Glenn Keane was online, and I spotted him, and he did a drawing of Ariel for me.
Oh my gosh. Well, he must have been thrilled to be recognized.
Oh yeah. No, it was me and another animator, Ken Boyer. We both walked up to him I think it was the first day and he was there to see how the crowd would react. So, I walked up to him. I said, I really love your work. And so he had a sketch pad on him and he ended up drawing Ariel. The caption on it says "Long live animation."
My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so I still have it. I don't know where it is, but somewhere around here. I should frame it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you come across it, you'll have to frame it.
That's yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal. Yeah. So Mermaid is number one. So I have to agree with that. That's probably probably the best. What's your number two on that?
Aladdin
yeah. was great.
I just think it's so great in all its many details.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody raves about the genie and Robin Williams' performance, and well, they should. But when you look at the film, he doesn't even come into it until it's like almost half over. So
that's right.
How much does that say about the movie? That the main attraction doesn't even show up. But I love everything about it. I love Aladdin. I love Jasmine.
Right.
Jafar is a great villain. The songs are fantastic. Everything about it.
The songs are great. The songs are great. Yeah, it felt like a Broadway musical when I saw it. And what would be number three?
Number three would be Beauty and the Beast.
There you go.
And there's been so many films since then, but it's hard to, you know, move away from those first three, and especially The Little Mermaid, because that was the start of the Renaissance. And boy, John Musker and Ron Clements, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Damn, they
nailed it. That's pretty amazing, right? I mean, you know, they were involved with another movie that I really liked in the 80s, and it kind of gave me hope because I was not a big fan of The Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
I saw The Black Cauldron and I was like, I just wanted to walk out of the movie theater because I felt like Disney animation is dead.
Oh dear. And,
but then they made a movie with Bernie Mattinson was involved and as producer, and it was The Great Mouse Detective.
Yeah, and I don't mean to disparage that at all.
Sure.
And they were directors with Bernie and with especially since Dave Michener.
Oh, I met him. I worked with him, Dave Michener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to hear that. On what did you work with him?
I was actually working on Jetsons the movie. He was the animation director on that.
Oh, great.
But
such a nice man.
He was very, you know,
and he's important. And I knew him as well. Such a lovely man. And I interviewed him during the making of that, because I wrote an article.
Right.
But the reason I sidestepped that is mm-hmm. because in terms of John and Ron, is because on Little Mermaid, that was theirs. They were just the two of them in terms of direction.
Right.
And it was their idea.
Right.
And they wrote it. I mean, certainly other people came on and did story, but that was theirs from day one.
Yes.
So that's why I focus in. And of course, that was the massive hit that really
propelled them. Yeah, because they had the Rescuers Down Under movie that didn't perform all too well before that.
No, actually, it came out after.
Wait, was Rescuers Down? Oh, you're right.
It was the next movie after.
You're right. You know why? You know why I know this? You're right. No, you're absolutely right. The reason why I know this is because I worked on the Prince and the Pauper featurette that was tied to that movie. I worked on some Mickey and Donald scenes. Yeah.
Oh, so, how wonderful, Brian.
Yeah. No, it was a couple of scenes in the pea shooter sequence. If you remember that, the schoolroom.
And the Rescuers Down Under. I also don't mean to step, you know, because that was directed by or co-directed by Mike Gabriel, who's one of my best friends.
Wow.
And I know what he and Hendel Butoy, the other director, put into that, and everybody worked on it.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's really magnificently done. But you know, sequels are such a that's a hard thing to do.
I guess the word you're looking for is crapshoot. It's kind of because it really is because the problem with sequels is if you get one out within a couple of years, you stand a really good chance of doing well. But I think when you go from 1977 to what was it, almost 1990 at that point,
it was 1990.
And it's 13 years have passed. And even though Rescuers was re-released, I know it was re-released a couple of times. It's, you know, it's not hot on people's minds, you know. I don't know if it got, I don't remember if it got good reviews or not. I remember liking the movie. And Glenn Keane had some great animation in it. John Candy was, I guess, the albatross in this one. And so it was a satisfying movie. But I think the way Little Mermaid was kind of directing it was there was a lot of cartoony character business, and then it was going into like Aladdin and then Beauty and the Beast. I think Beauty and the Beast was first, right? Beauty and the Beast and then Aladdin. And it just kept on amping up, and they kept making them funnier and funnier and, you know, more entertaining.
And of course they were musicals, so the great songs. And The Rescuers Down Under, of course, was not a musical.
Right.
So, but if you look at it for what it is, the storytelling is extraordinary. The filmmaking is extraordinary. The angles and all the layouts and just the way, and you know, it was the same teams, as you say. Glenn Keane worked on that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everything about it, it was just a different type of movie than the, as you say, Disney animation was moving.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit that mold, but that could be a benefit too.
Yeah.
So I think people that really look at it objectively see the great storytelling that's in it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's kind of apples and oranges, you know. It's kind of like, you know, this was going for something and then this was going for something else. And
and
a lot of people liked it.
So. Yeah. And Mike Gabriel went on to co-direct Pocahontas, and Pocahontas is one of my absolute top favorites as well. Probably would be next on my list.
Yeah. No, it's a really well done movie. And Eric Goldberg was co-director on that. And, And the design, I think Mike Giano was involved with that, wasn't he?
Yes, he was the art director and was completely responsible for its look. Yes.
Yeah. So great music in it, really fun animation, and good story.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And you know, we normally talk about animation on this podcast, but you know, this is all about Walt Disney. How do you feel about Walt Disney's legacy today? Do you feel that they're living up to, the company is living up to his legacy, or how do you feel about that?
I think if one looks at it objectively, they do try to hold up Walt's legacy and continue it in his way, or his up to his standards as much as they can.
Right.
And even all these so-called live action, because some of them are not live action, they're almost entirely CGI. Lion King was.
Yeah.
The remake.
Right.
All these remakes that everybody complains about, including me, because I don't think I personally am not crazy about them.
Right.
How can you say that's not part of Walt's legacy when they're remakes, like Peter Pan and Wendy is a remake of Peter Pan?
Right.
Isn't that the ultimate tribute?
Yeah.
Isn't the ultimate tribute when they do a live action version of Cinderella? That's basically a retelling more than Peter Pan and Wendy is, I think.
Right.
So, you know, if you look at it objectively, they are trying.
Yeah.
And Bob Iger certainly was very, very interested and is very knowledgeable of Walt Disney's legacy. So he certainly was committed to that.
Yeah. I like Bob Iger. I think he's a good guy. I think he has a lot to juggle though. And, you know, because Disney is, it's not just, I mean, even back in the day when Walt Disney was running it, they had shareholders. They had an answer to the shareholders, you know, so it wasn't like they were operating just, we're going to do this and we're going to do, I mean, basically they did, but they still had an answer to the people that were paying for the shares, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I think at that point, I think Walt Disney was trusted to a certain point. Today, there's just so many avenues of the Disney company. I mean, it's ABC, and it's a couple of live action units, and then they have the animation unit. I think they're getting back into hand-drawn. I heard that they're getting back into hand-drawn animation.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. But there's so many parts to this machine.
Yeah.
And it's like, especially with Disney Plus now, which they, you know, they've bankrolled and they put so much money into. I don't think if one part fails that the company is going to go under, but I just think that, you know, you have to pay attention to everything.
Well, a big part of today's Disney, you are 100% correct, Brian. It's just part of it. Part of the story always is just how huge it is.
Yeah.
And of course it was never that huge in Walt's time. And one thing I used to say, because I've been asked this question my whole career, is what do you think Walt would think, or how well is it holding up Walt's legacy?
Right.
Is one thing I used to say is, well, I don't think Walt ever imagined the Walt Disney Company owning a TV network.
Yeah.
I think he would say, what the hell do you want that for?
It's true. Well, it's not just one TV network. They own ABC, but they own all these other things, a streaming service.
Yeah, that's just an example.
Yeah. They own ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of the ABC thing, but see, I'm dating myself,
right?
Because I'm going back, even in my mind, the ABC thing is fairly recent. When
right.
you think of all 100 years of Disney, it's relatively recent, but how long ago was that now? So
I know. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, it really is. You know, the one thing I wanted to say early on, which I didn't, was how Disney has affected culture. The one thing I noticed years ago, I walked into a Wendy's to get a hamburger and they said, next guest.
Yes.
And I was like, wow.
Yes.
It's Disney is basically this, it's this amoeba that's kind of like spread out, multiplied and gotten into everything. You know,
that's extremely perceptive, Brian. When I really noticed it, was when I was in a department store years ago,
right.
And they said next guest, and I said to myself, no, you don't get to do that, because when you're at a Disney park, you are treated like a guest,
right?
They have the culture to do that. A department, maybe even a restaurant does, or
right.
a fast food place, maybe,
yeah.
But a department store,
I know,
unless you're like, you know, I don't know, Neiman Marcus or something very high end.
Right.
You're not treating me like a guest, so please don't say that.
I think if you're at a Neiman Marcus and you're a shopper there, they're going to be calling you by name.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. But, you know, I shouldn't go into this minute detail, but it's interesting that at a Disney park, the minute they have a reason to find out your name, they will call you by that.
Oh, sure.
Whether it's when you give them your credit card or it's an annual pass type thing, as soon as they have the opportunity, they will call you by name. And I've always been struck by that. That's part of the whole thing.
Right.
So anyhow.
The Disney magic.
Yes.
Just getting back to Walt Disney, I just think that, yeah, I don't know if he could have imagined what Disney has become. You know, it's you know, and what I really like, last time I was down there behind the scenes, like in Florida, you know, they had portraits of Walt Disney.
Yep.
Around the, you know, they still honor his legacy.
Every single person who's employed by Disney has a training, you know, workshop or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
That definitely includes who Walt Disney was and why he's still important, and everything we do is still is in his way.
Right.
So they still definitely go for it. There's nobody that works there that it's not the company's fault if somebody's not doing it, because they build in that training.
Oh, sure.
So sure. That's to their credit.
Yeah. Well, so, I give him a lot of credit for, you know, because the company has merged. It's like I said, it's so large, but you know, it seems like they still talk about Walt as an important. Yeah, I mean, look, when they introduce like a Disney film, it's just Disney. Disney is the name now. It's not Walt Disney. It's just Disney. It used to be Walt Disney Presents, Walt Disney Productions, you know, Walt Disney Pictures, and then now it's just Disney.
Yeah,
and But I think that's okay. I think that's okay. I think it's unfortunate that some kids today, some young people don't know who Walt Disney was. I think some people think it's like, you know,
like Betty Crocker.
Betty Crocker. Yeah. Perfect. yeah. It's like this imaginary person. Walt Disney was basically, he set the template for everything. He set the template for the way the film should be made, the way, you know, by the way, I'm a big fan of the live action movies that they made back in the 50s and 60s and some, and, yeah, and even too. Some of the 70s. And, I thought they were absolutely a lot of fun. I mean, people said, oh yeah, it's not like Citizen Kane.
Oh, well, please. What is?
Yeah. But the point, those pictures were meant to entertain. They were meant to go out and to have a few laughs and enjoy hijinks and shenanigans that was going on. And, films like The Love Bug, which is an excellent movie, Blackbeard's Ghost, another excellent movie.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, all set in motion by Walt before he passed away. Yep. That Darn Cat, Mary Poppins, Davy Crockett. Dr. Mm-hmm. Sin was a TV show that was shot like in a widescreen, and you can get it on Blu-ray. It's absolutely excellent.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Dr. Sin the Scarecrow. It's wonderful. It was a Disney TV show, and they basically put it on DVD. And I think it was a three-parter.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So Disney made some wonderful, wonderful films, live-action films, and you know they resonate today with a lot of people. So like you with Davy Crockett, you know. I mean, I love Davy Crockett. So
I do.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah. So if you guys, anybody listening, if you haven't seen some of that stuff, you know, we've given you a couple of titles here to actually watch. I'm sure everybody's seen Mary Poppins by now.
But, I hope so.
But as a kid, I saw those things at Radio City. Radio City
Oh,
Music.
You're kidding.
I saw them all on the big screen. And they used to have a stage show. It was a Christmas show. So I saw Follow Me Boys. And
I'm so envious.
Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. I saw at Radio City Music Hall along with Robin.
Oh, please.
Hood. Yeah.
You're killing me.
A lot of fun. Anyway.
So a few minutes ago, we were talking about the training at Disney and trying to keep Walt's legacy alive.
Right.
I'm not sure they still do it, but they used to give every single employee when they went through their Disney University, quote unquote, training, mm-hmm. they used to give people a copy of Bob Thomas's biography of Walt, which was published in 1976. And Disney has kept it in print all these years.
It's a great book. That's the book that everybody needs to get is Walt Disney American Original.
Even today, it remains the gold standard.
Yeah.
And it's so excellent. And I know you and I have talked a little bit about this before. Bob Thomas knew Walt Disney and interviewed him many, many times over the years. So he was able to draw on a personal relationship with Walt and a personal knowledge of Walt's thoughts and ideas in writing this biography. It's very fair and balanced. And it's a wonderful work.
Yes.
So here's a scoop for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that for the last year, I've been working with Disney Publishing, the Disney Editions imprint that publishes the Disney historical books that Disney puts out. And I've been working with the great Jennifer Eastwood as a senior editor. So I got to work on many of the books that are being put out now for the Disney 100 celebration.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I was very, very, very fortunate to be able to do that. So one of the projects we did was a republication of Bob Thomas's biography, which is out right now. It's available now. And we not only republished his exact manuscript,
right,
but added sort of as annotations, segments from other Disney edition books that have been published since. For example, Mindy Johnson's groundbreaking work on women in animation.
Right. That was a book that came out a few years back, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an area that had, before she wrote that book, had not been explored that much.
Right.
So we added some references from that book, some mm-hmm. selections from that book, to broaden the perspective a little bit.
Right.
We had some new introductions written for it, including Walt's grandson, Christopher Miller, and also Jeff Curdy wrote an introduction for it as well. So we tried to not just do another, just republish the book, right. but we tried to add some things to it to make it even more significant for Disney's 100.
Yeah.
So I was very, very fortunate to be able to work on those books. Another one that I think is still coming out, I don't think it's been published quite yet, is a new Walt Disney quote book that the archives was 100% behind and involved in. That's where it all came from.
Right.
So there's new quotes in there, but they're all verified and they're all documented. That's important because, as I'm sure you know, Brian, in mm-hmm. the age of the internet, there's lots of Walt Disney quotes around that are not authentic.
Yeah, they're not correct.
That's yeah. right. And it's, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, so there's no way to stop it now, but at least people can go to this authentic and verified book and see exactly what he said. How many people get even Disneyland itself, unfortunately, got the famous, it was all started by a mouse quote wrong.
There's a lot of quotes that, a lot of things attributed to him that he never said. And it's crazy.
One of the most famous is if you can dream it, you can do it. Nope, yeah. Not a Walt Disney quote. No,
not at all.
So
I think what they were referring to was, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. I think that is a quote, right?
That is. Yeah. Yes. That's actually a quote. Yes.
That's a quote. Yeah.
But if you can dream it, you can do it is a Disney statement.
Right.
But it's been somehow attributed to Walt Disney himself over the years. And then there's other things that don't even have any basis in reality at all.
Oh, sure.
So that's the age of the internet. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
And then aside from that, I do have a couple books coming out that I've written. Actually, before I move on to my own book, I wanted to also mention that coming out in September is the 6th edition of the Disney A to Z, the official encyclopedia.
Oh, wow. That's a smaller book, right? That's like it's not a full size book, is it?
It's a full size book.
It is a full size book. Okay.
Especially now it is.
Oh, but was it ever a smaller edition, like a thick? No?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
I think this is the first edition right here.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of another book.
Maybe you're thinking of the original quote book, which was just kind of a booklet.
No, it was a book that basically it had like it was like milestones, but it was a thick book. I don't think you were involved with it.
The first edition, and you can see how thick it was. Well, now there's over 1,000 entries. It's been completely updated.
Wow.
And I was very fortunate to be the senior editor on that, along with Jenny Swood. And Stephen Bagnini, mm-hmm. who helped Dave Smith write the last two editions,
yes,
is now in Dave's absence, unfortunately, carrying on. So Stephen, who works with the Walt Disney Archives,
right,
has done an extraordinary job, trust me,
right,
on pulling together every new thing since the last edition, which I think was 1996.
Wow.
Probably not that long ago. But
how many pages is this, Disney A to Z? Do you know how many pages?
I should know that, and I don't think I have. Let's see if it says on here, my little reference.
It's about 1,000 pages, maybe. No.
Yeah, I think it's well over 1,000 pages.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, so the 5th edition was in 2016, so not quite as long ago as I was thinking. But at any rate, right. This is the first written since Dave Smith's passing, and Stephen was very dedicated to carrying it on in Dave's tradition. And it's really, I mean, if I say so myself, because I was involved as the editor, but Stephen did all the work.
Right.
It's a fantastic job.
Wow.
So I really encourage every Disney fan. It's available for pre-order now.
So when is it coming out? It's you can order. I guess you can order it on Amazon.
You can pre-order it now, yes, but yeah. It will not be published until September.
Wow, well, get your copy. Get your copy now, or order it. Exactly. Be first online.
I wanted to mention that, but now let me get back to the book I wrote, if I can find it here. So I want to give the exact title.
Sure. I feel like we should play the Jeopardy music. You know, bum, bum. I can't even do it on the air here.
just more pressure.
There was a the Mouse Factory, which was a Disney series that Ward Kimball helmed back in the early 70s. And at the beginning of the show, had Mickey with the clock. So the clock would go, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick, like that, something like that. At the beginning.
Right.
The
so the book I wrote, which is also coming out in September and is also available right now for pre-order.
Yes.
It's called Drawing 100 Years of Disney Wonder, a retrospective collection of artwork and step-by-step drawing projects featuring a curated collection of iconic Disney characters. So this is being published by Walter Foster. A lot of Disney fans and especially Disney artists will know that publisher, because they did the How to Draw or Learn to Draw books. They've been a Disney licensee since I think the 40s.
Yes.
And so they decided that for the 100 year celebration of Disney, they needed to do something special. So this is a hardcover book.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the Learn to Draw part, which has many characters from over the 100 years, starting with Oswald.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to write a historical perspective for each decade and historical tidbits throughout.
Right.
So I wrote the introduction. I wrote the introduction of the whole book, the introduction to each chapter, which is each decade, and then tidbits along the way.
Oh, very cool.
And another thing that I think Disney fans will find intriguing is that Andreas Deja, Disney legend and fabulous Disney animator.
He is.
Also wrote his own perspective along the way. So he also has his commentary about the characters, and especially, you know, not only the historical ones, but the ones he animated.
Sure. Oh, so, wow, that's very neat.
It's going to be, I think if you say to people it's a Learn to Draw book, some people will want it, some people will not. They'll be like, okay, but it has all this great material.
Mm-hmm.
So I think anybody interested in Disney history will be interested in it.
So whether you're an artist or want to be an artist and you want to learn a little bit about the history of it, then you get that. What's the name of that book again? That is?
The short version is Drawing 100 Years of Disney Wonder.
There you go.
And it is available for pre-order now.
Everything's available for pre-order. I guess it's all on Amazon. I'm going to put links to all this stuff on my website, on the Cartoonerific website. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll put a link to your webpage.
Please do. And I think you mentioned my YouTube channel as well.
That's right. Yes, the YouTube channel. Right. So
I appreciate that so much, Brian. And then the other book I wanted to mention, which has a certain contribution by me, will be published in June, and it's called
Face It, Jim. You're all over the place. You just pick up anything. It's Jim Fanning.
I need you as my PR agent, that's for sure. But this one is called Disney One Saturday Morning Adventures. It's a hardcover republication of great, great comic book stories that were published in Disney Adventures, the famous magazine that a lot of Disney fans may not even have known about because it was considered a children's magazine, but it had great material, including comic books.
Yes.
Comic comic stories.
Yeah, I remember those. What? How long was that out? Disney Adventures.
Gosh, quite some time. It started in like 1990 about, and it went through, I think, into the 2000s.
Yeah, that was like a small, it was a smaller book. It wasn't like a comic book size, maybe half the size, maybe even.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like we used to say Reader's Digest size. Kind of a pocket size.
Pocket thing. Book. Yeah. They would call them pocket books. Yeah.
So this particular book is reprinting the comic book stories that were done based on anything from Disney One Saturday Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I have a contribution is that I wrote a lot of Winnie the Pooh comic book stories.
Oh, wow.
They wanted something to represent the new adventures of Winnie the Pooh because that was part of Disney One Saturday Morning. So I think there's two or three comic book stories about Winnie the Pooh, and I wrote one of them.
Wow.
So I am trying to get the word out because all my comic book stories, with just a couple exceptions, were published overseas, never seen the light of day in the United States, never seen the light of day in the English language.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So this reprints one of my Winnie the Pooh stories in English.
Good. Good. No, I think people are going to be looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you.
That's going to be a full size book. It's not going to be the smaller version. It's going to be the full size. Nope.
It's a full size hardcover.
Very cool.
Yeah, from Fantagraphics, and of course they've done some wonderful reprints of the Carl Barks stories and Floyd Gottfredson and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Brian, I want to thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed our talk and all your insights. I appreciate the opportunity to promote some of my projects.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like I said, I've been a longtime fan. You've been basically everywhere that, you know, I'd see your name. It would pop up from time to time, things I'm reading. I'd be like, who's this Jim Fanning guy? The articles were always very, very interesting. All the Disney history, and you basically pop up everywhere on CDs and DVDs and I don't know if you're even on Blu-ray, but I know I had the whole set of the Disney treasures, and we have to have this guy on to talk about Walt Disney and the legacy of Walt Disney, and you're the perfect guy for this. So.
Oh. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Hey, keep doing the wonderful work, and we'll look forward to all the new stuff that's coming out, and please be well.
Well, the same to you, Brian. Thanks again for having me.
All right, and maybe we can have you back soon. Maybe we could do this again.
I would love that.
And maybe we'll actually record some of it.
that's always a plus.
Yes.
Do you have any questions or comments about the podcast? Please email Brian at cartoonerific.com. Your email may be featured in one of our future shows.
Well, that was a wonderful interview with Mr. Jim Fanning. And like I said, he is appearing on Behind the Attraction on Disney Plus. So please check him out on that. He also has a website. He has a YouTube channel. So please check all that out as well. You know, I don't know if you know this, but this podcast is edited, and it's not heavily edited. It's just, you know, we trim some things out of here and there. We make some mistakes, whatever. But last week I missed something, and I was talking about the book Walt Disney, An American Original by Bob Thomas, and I made a mess of it, and I said Bob Thomas, An American Original by Bob Thomas. And so, you know, occasionally I flub a line here, you know, here and there, and sometimes I catch it and sometimes I don't. I guess you could call me the original son of flubber. Yeah, a little Disney joke for you all. Yeah, I know, very little. Well, for dinner tonight, I'm having some delicious homemade mushroom barley soup. And I'm looking forward to that. What are you guys having? Anyway, I hope you're all enjoying the show. If you like what you're listening to, please subscribe. Go to your favorite service that you get this podcast from and click that button, and you'll be notified every time a brand new episode is uploaded for your listening pleasure. If you really like what you're listening to, please tell a friend. You know, that's always a good thing. Just call them up on the telephone and say, hey, what you doing? Maybe you should be listening to the Cartoonerific podcast featuring Brian Mitchell. He's the host, and he has all these wonderful guests every week, and they're all interesting, and sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's not, but I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, I want everybody to have a great day. I want you to have an excellent week, and thank you all again for tuning in. Thank you, and see you next time.
This has been a Cartoonerific Studios presentation.
The Cartoonerific podcast is copyright 2024 by Cartoonerific Studios Incorporated. All rights reserved.